Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. What a moment he has brought me to. Such a freedom I have found in you. You're the healer who makes all things new. And we all say together, good morning, good morning, good morning. As I say every day, I'm thankful and I'm truly blessed to be with you this morning on this New Testament Friday. God put in my heart to go New Testament today instead of our normal Old Testament Friday. We'll be in the Old Testament on Sunday. We may hit part of the Old Testament in our Psalms and Proverbs today, time permitting. But today God just put in my heart that we are saved by grace. By grace you have been saved. We are saved by grace through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. I am blessed to be a Christian. I am blessed to be a child of God. I am blessed to not be ashamed to call on the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But I am a Christian, and I'm not ashamed to say it because I don't want to stand before Christ and say, he'll say to me, oh, you denied me on the earth, so I ain't got time for you now. And I'm paraphrasing so everybody can understand. We are all God's children, and he loves us, each and every one. But he wants us to love each other. All this rhetoric of hate and this foolishness is not of God. And God wants us to stop. You know, we get caught up in the rhetoric of society that we forget to get caught up in Jesus. You have more people who will support everything. Artists, television personalities, everything but God will stay up all night to movie but complain about being in church for 5 minutes. If it's an hour long, oh my goodness. Why we got to be here so long? But you can go to a movie and be there for 3 hours. But if you're in the house of God for more than an hour and a half, it's a complaint. God wants us to be saved. He wants us to be set free. He wants us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so all I can say this morning is thank you, Lord, for salvation. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you, Christ Jesus, for loving us enough to come to this wicked world and die on the cross for us. We didn't deserve you. We don't deserve you now. But I thank you for loving us in spite of us. Father God in heaven, I come to you this morning lifting up the sick and the shedding, lifting up all those that are in the path of Hurricane Ian, those that have suffered loss in Florida. And I pray for those that are coming, that are in the Carolinas, that are also coming upon Ian, our Ian is coming upon them. Father God, I pray your blessing over the of this great nation. And I ask you to help us become a united nation. I am part of the United States of America, not just America, but the United States of America. Father, help us to be united in our love for you and united as a nation to fight tyranny, to fight oppression, to fight lies and deceit, to fight misinformation and those that would worship idols and people and things. For your word says, thou shalt have no other God before me. Be it man, be it carved images, be it anything, that you are the Lord our God, who created the heavens and the earth and everything therein. Father God, forgive us for the things that we have done and said, Lord God. I pray for this nation. And I lift up our leadership today, asking you to bring in leaders moral and care more about the whole than just themselves. Father God, I pray for unity of the body of Christ, that politics and foolishness is not allowed in the body to rot it out and to cause those that do not know you to not want to be a part of your body, not wanting to be a part of you and knowing you as their Lord and Savior, as their Father God, as their Creator. So, Father God, I lift up our nation. I lift up all the continent of Africa and all the nations within. I lift up the continent of Asia and all the countries within. Lord God, I lift up Israel today and ask you, Lord God, to guide and lead them as I even lift up Palestine and ask you to watch over them as well. For we all are your children. We all are your children. We have all been grafted in. And we all will have to stand accountable to you one day. So, Father God, I lift up all those that are in need of salvation, in need of you, in need of just the word. Father God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble, humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you, Lord God, are my strength. And you, Lord God, are my Redeemer and my Father. And it's in the name of the matchless, loving, and divine Savior, Jesus Christ, that I pray lifting up our world. Lord God, lifting up our world, that you will continue to give us air to breathe. You will continue giving us water to drink. That you will continue to provide for us just as you provide for the birds of the field. In Jesus' name again, I pray. Amen. Whew, giving honor to the Most High God, who is the source of my strength and the strength of my life. I can only say thank you this morning. Thank you, Lord God, for waking me up this morning. Thank you, Lord God, for giving me strength in my body. Thank you, Lord God, for allowing me to read and teach your word. Not my, but his. God is absolute, and he loves us more than anything. And all he asks is for us to love each other. Let us love each other. At a time like this, it's not time for politics. It's not time to say, well, you know, this blue state is not going to help this red state who is in trouble because of a heretic. This Democratic president is not going to help this Republican governor because he talked about me. He said horrible things about me. So I don't care if they work. They just let them do it for themselves. That's not right. And we got to start putting God first. I'm not saying that we're going to just force our Christianity down the throats of everyone in this nation, because that's not what this nation is founded on. I love God, and I want those that do not know Jesus Christ to get to know them because they see his light in me. They see his love in me, and not because they're forced to be Christian. That's not how it works. That's not how salvation works. And that's what causes hatred and bigotry and destruction of human life. Let God abound in his death. Watch God work. We don't need to be God. We are just his servants and his children. But let's get into our word this morning. And again, my opinion is all I can give. I can't tell you what God said unless God says it. So many times folks are speaking for God when God has not said any of the things that they're saying he said. God definitely can speak for himself, and he does it every day. All you have to do is listen. We have to do is listen. And as always, I'm coming out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible Biblical Principles for each day of the year. I'm coming out of the Signature Series, New King James Version. And my daily disclaimer, I am not paid or given anything by Dr. Stanley or his ministry to hawk his Bible. But I will tell you, this Bible is one of the best Bibles to have in your biblical arsenal. Again, I say biblical arsenal on purpose because we are at war against the enemy and the rulers of darkness. We have to fight the fight of faith. And how we fight is through the word of God. As we all know, Jesus had to fight the wiles of the whiny, sneaky snake that we call Satan. After his fast, he came at him hard and heavy, and tried to bastardize the word of God. And Jesus had to fight it with the word of God. Be careful what you listen to and how the word is spoken. The word is the word is the word. And we read it as it is written. If you go to my blog and my site on Blog Talk Radio, you will see our scripture is in King James. I use King James and I use New King James, which is the closest that I found to the source document. But that is a little bit easier for those that do not know the Lord and have not been Bible readers, so they understand it a little better. I even understand it a little better. You know, when it says made alive, I understand that's quickening. So we have to understand that we need each other. But read this Bible, study this Bible, and when you hear me say answers to life questions or life lessons or what the Bible says, it is coming from Dr. Stanley. And I'll say, and this is my opinion, or, you know, I'll give the commentary and I'll say, this is from Dr. Stanley. If I don't say this is from Dr. Stanley, this is what God has given me to say the other. So let's get started. Great work. And for those that are just joining, moving forward, welcome to New Testament Friday. And as we get started, we are in Ephesians chapter 2. Yesterday, we did an overview of Ephesians and what we should be learning from it. Who wrote it? When it was written? And what it's about? And I'll tell you, I found at ChristianBooks.com this little book, and it's called Know Your Bible, All 66 Books Explained and Applied. Most of the time, I agree 100% with what it says from my own studies. But, you know, just a quick overview, Ephesians was written by Apostle Paul. It was written about 62 years after the death of Christ. And it's the 10 words or less. Christians are all members of Jesus' body, the church. And I like to say, Christians are all members of the same body of Christ. You know, so we are all one with each other. And we all have an assignment. You know, just like in our own body, our eyes have an assignment to see. Our nose has an assignment to smell. Our ears have an assignment to hear. And our mouth of an assignment to speak in this little membrane behind our teeth. We have to keep in check, created, this little membrane behind our teeth called the tongue. But it has a purpose and an assignment. Just like we as Christians each have an assignment within the body of Christ. Are you doing your assignment? And just a few quotables. And the one is, I love this, is by faith. Are you saved through faith and that not of yourself? It is the gift of God, not a work, lest any man should boast. And that is, we'll be reading that today in Ephesians chapter 2. And it will be verses 8 through 9 in New King James. I just read you King James Version instead of New King James. And we will also get to this, so what? And we'll read that today as well. In him, Jesus, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. And that is Ephesians chapter 3, verse 22. And I just read you the NIV version. So let's get started in our word. And you, he made alive, are quickened, as King James would say, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. You know who that is. That is that damn sneaky snake. The spirit who now works in the sons of what? Disobedience. Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, come on now, say it with me. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ by grace. Woo! You have been saved. And that is the title for our lesson today. By grace, you have been saved through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And raised and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace, come on, y'all, say it with me. For by grace, you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not a work, lest anyone should boast. But we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. I got to read that again. Grace, you have been saved through faith and not of yourself. It is a gift of God. Thank you, Lord. Not a work that anyone should boast, but we are his workmanship. We all know Father God is the potter, and we are his clay. Hallelujah. And it goes on to say, created in Christ Jesus for good works. God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Are you walking in your good works? Are you walking in your faith? Are you walking in the grace of God? Therefore, remember that you once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, but now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself, excuse me, one new man from the two, that's making peace, sell them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. But through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in which the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Neither Jew nor Gentile, we are all one body in Christ Jesus. Woo, hallelujah. By grace, you have been saved. By grace, we have been saved. Grateful for salvation. I'm not perfect, but God, I love you. I love you, Lord, more than anything. Woo, hallelujah. I love God, and I know that I'm loved by him. And as we go into some life lessons and the life questions from Dr. Stanley, the first life lesson is this. In Ephesians 2 and 2, the Spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Even though I spoke it already, this is a word. As the prince of the power of the air, Satan is not limited to the surface of the earth, and so can move quickly to try to prevent unbelievers from coming to faith. Yet he is no match for the Holy Spirit. You can take that to the bank. The enemy is no match for the Holy Spirit, because God gave it to him. He will come and try to disrupt your household. He will come to try to disrupt your churches. He will come to try to disrupt your nations. He will come and try to disrupt families and friends. That's his job. That's his assignment, to kill, steal, and disguise people. And we have to fight the fight with faith. Faith, the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. We got to have faith that God is in charge, because the enemy will come at you. He will try to take the breath out of your body so you cannot speak. But the devil is alive. We got to talk and believe. How can I develop a better self-image? And this is some questions that Dr. Sterling has asked. And he says, on April 12, 1945, giving it your life, U.S. President Franklin Delano Roosevelt was setting forth fortune when he died suddenly of a cerebral hemorrhage. The unfinished portrait, as it is called, remains on its easel, looking out on the world much as it did when the artist Elizabeth Shamatov later rushed down at the site of the president's collapse. The watercolor likeness of the president shows a man of inner strength and calm, photographs taken days before and placed alongside the artist's canvas for reference. However, it bears a much different view. In them, we see a national leader worn emotionally and physically from the political load he bore. Later, Madame Shafmatar returned to her work on the president's portrait. She did not choose to complete the watercolor. However, she saw it as complete in its own right. Instead, she began and finished the new portrait, painted in oil. It is a handsome rendering of a strong and confident President Roosevelt with no visible flaws. Have you ever wondered how God used your life? And honestly, I have forgot President Roosevelt died like that. I forgot. So this Bible with Dr. Stanley's commentary, because Dr. Stanley's been around for a long time, is also a history lesson. And as we look at the full book, it is his story. His story. And every time architects and atheists and agnostics try to prove that there is no God, artifacts come. And everything that is in the book starts to show up as real and true. Come on now. God will show up and show out every time. And I love this, what Dr. Stanley tells us. Have you ever wondered how God views your life? Do you worry that he sees your flaws and mistakes and loves you less? Do not worry. God knows you perfectly and loves you completely, just the way you are. You are his masterpiece, his workmanship of grace and love, his work of art. He continues to paint the colors of your life in such a way that you will glorify him. Thank you, God. We got to glorify our Father. The Apostle Paul tells us we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And we just read that in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. By God's love and grace, we are created in the image of Christ. Though our lives remain on the canvas, God has seen the finished portrait. His eternal eyes know exactly where we need his greatest attention. Every frustration, every disappointment, and every joy has a purpose. And we're going to go to one of my favorite scriptures. And that is Romans 8 and 28. So please join me in Romans 8 and 28, and I will be coming, I believe, out of King James this morning. And we're going to go back up to Romans 27:8-27. It says, and he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know, come on y'all, say it with me, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. Hallelujah. I'm going to read it again and we're going to say it together. And we know that all things work together for good for them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose, to them called according to his purpose. Not our purpose, but his purpose. We got to trust in the Lord. So again, and we know that all things work together for good for them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. As Paul said, every frustration, every disappointment, and every joy has a purpose called according to his purpose. Many find it hard, a hard concept to grasp. They see their lives as incomplete, much like the unfinished portrait of President Roosevelt. But God views you from a totally different perspective. when you see that life, he sees a person of worth and great promise. When God sees a life, he sees a person of worth and great promise. God rejoices over you, though he knows you are not yet what you will be when you step into the eternal presence of God. And we're going to go again for our King James. We're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And we're going to go to the last two verses. And we're going to go to verse 12 and verse 13. And I love this word because it says, until that time, God is patiently molding and shaping your life into the image of his Son. But when we go to this love chapter of the Word of God, and it says this, as we see it in you, for now we see through a glass, darkly, but then face to face, now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. But I want, let's go back up. I want to talk about children. You know, I love it says, but verse 10, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. We know Jesus is coming back. When I was a child, we all been children. I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. And we all know that man encompasses women as well. So don't get all crazy acting. It says, for now we see through a glass darkly, that mirror. But then face to face, now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And as Paul, as Dr. Stanley says, until that time, God is, it says, God rejoices over you, though he knows you are not yet what you will be when you step into the eternal presence of God. Until that time, God is patiently molding and shaping your life into the image of his Son. But I love this word, as we know, shall I know even as also I am known. And I love this as we end this love chapter. And now abiding faith. We got to have faith. Hope. Charity. And charity is love. Whew. But these three, faith, hope, charity. Our faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is charity. God is wanting us to be charitable, lovable, caring about others. Don't get caught up in foolishness. Trust God and love your brothers and your sisters. For God loves us. And the Word of God says, as Dr. Stanley tells us in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, by grace you have been saved through faith. Salvation is a gift of God, presented free and not in exchange for anything when we place our faith in Christ. It therefore magnifies God alone. And he blesses us not because of our merit, but because of his goodness. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Ephesians 2 and 13, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. God created you to enjoy an intimate relationship with himself, and he redeemed you and saved you for the same reason. He yearns for close fellowship with you and with me, and makes that possible through the death of his Son. He made it possible through the death of our loving and divine Savior, Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 3. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you, how that by revelation made known to me the mysteries I have briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made, known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel, of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles and the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church, the bodies and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. Therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulation for you, which is your glory. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, length, and depth, and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. What a word. And let me go to some life lessons from chapter 3 of the book of Ephesians. Ephesians 3 and 8. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. And all I can say is thank you, God. And it says Paul never got over the fact that even though he once tried to destroy the church, the Lord gave him the task of helping to build that church worldwide. Just one example of the unsearchable riches of Christ. And all I can say is, as a Christian tuned out, who didn't want to go near a church for a long time, God called me back. God lifted me up. God gave me an assignment. And all I can say is, thank you, God, for loving me, for wiping me off, dusting me off, and guiding me back to you. I thank God every day for this opportunity to read the Word of God to you. I thank God every day for being chosen to do this assignment. I thank God every day for his grace, which is sufficient for me. And as this rest of the life lessons go, it says in Ephesians 3 and 10, the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. What happens in our lives of faith has implications far greater than what we can see. Powerful spiritual forces are watching us and stand amazed each time we glorify God. Through Ephesians 3 and 16, be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. If we feel weak, it is not because we suffer from a lack of available power. the might of God that created the universe and that raised Jesus from the dead is available to us at every moment through believing prayer. Thank you, God. And as he goes back to Ephesians 3:26, him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask of things, according to the power that works in us. God loves to surprise his faithful people with answers to prayers far exceeding anything they have imagined. That power is as close as it feels within us. And I can only say I had never had a miracle happen to me until God did it. When I was in a great need, God provided. And all I can say is thank you, God. Thank you. He didn't have to do it, but he did. Provided so much in my life. I've wasted some of the privileges, but he has still never let me down, ever. And all I can say is thank you. Thank you to him every day for his grace. Ephesians 4, chapter 4. I got emotional this morning. Holy Spirit just hit my heart. And I'm grateful for all of you that are listening. Those that listen live, those that listen later, those that just hear me in the atmosphere. I thank God for all of you. And I pray his grace and his mercy and his salvation over all of you and the blood of Jesus that has covered you from the crowns of your head to the foot of your feet, that you realize how blessed we are to be sons and daughters of the Most High God. And he is a great Father. That is truly who he is. And he loves us unconditionally. And he could care less what you look like on the outside, because he's looking at your inside. He's looking at the spirit that lights up within you time you talk about the grace and goodness of God. Thank you, Lord. The enemy is trying his best to take my voice, but the devil is a lie. And I know who my daddy is. And it says, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, the fruit of the Spirit, bear with one another. Come on now. In love. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, come on y'all, one faith, one baptism, one God, one Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. I say it again, one Lord. One faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this, he ascended. What does it mean but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to the perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may go up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. Who's the head? Christ. From whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of the mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanliness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Can I say it again? As the truth is in Jesus. One more time. The truth is in Jesus that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor. I'm going to read that again. That's a word that we all need to hear in this day and this age in our nations all over. Liars have taken over, and we got to say it like it is. Therefore, put away what lying. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor. But we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. You don't go trying to change a lie into the truth because you want to believe the lie. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. We can't go to bed mad at anybody. Husbands, don't go to bed mad at your wives. Wives, don't go to bed mad at your husbands. Mothers and fathers, don't go to bed mad at your children. Children, don't go to bed mad at your fathers and your mothers. God does not want us being angry, because I tell you this. You go to bed angry and letting all that wrath and all that nasty negativity churn in you. I can't stand him dead on this. What if you don't make it into the next day? And your last thoughts were of anger and hatred and bigotry and lying and deceit and not of God. Where do you think your final destination will be? You go to bed mad at your children, mad at your husband, mad at your wife, and you wonder what will happen when you're gone. You will leave a heartache. And the wise of life. But we are sons and daughters of God, and we got to stand on the promise of God that we are loved, that we are his, and that he wants the best for us. But I say one more time, therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with our members of one another. We are all one body. But be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impact I impart grace to the ears. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord, everybody. And I have this life principle. You might want to grab a pen or paper to write these down. God blesses us so that we might bless others. I feel in my heart every day I'm blessed to be a blessing. And this is what Dr. Stanley says, and again, you might want to write these down. How would you complete the following three statements? As God saved me because. God's purpose for saving me was. I am most like Jesus when I. And this is for your personal use. Again, number one. God saved me because, fill in your blank. God's purpose for saving me was, fill in your blank. I am most like Jesus when I, fill in your blank. I give you this little quiz, is what Dr. Stanley tells us, not to put you on the spot, but to set the proper framework for our discussion. I'm seeking the following answers to my question. God saved me because he loves me. This is Dr. Stanley. The sole reason that God sent his son to this world to die for your sins and mine was because he loved us. God forgives us, grants us eternal life, and gives us the gift of his Holy Spirit out of his immeasurable love and grace. There is no other reason. Many people seem to believe that God, a man or woman, because of the person's good works or service. Nothing can be further from the truth. No amount or type of service can earn salvation. The apostle, and I'm going to say, I'm adding this to it, and you cannot buy it. The apostle Paul made this very clear when he wrote, for by grace you have been saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Even the faith by which we believe that God forgives us and saves us is divine gift. It is a divine gift that flows from his love. This point critical to understand. Any good we do is in response to God's gift of salvation, eternal life, and his Holy Spirit, never in order to earn, win, or want salvation. Number two. God's purpose for saving me was to bring him glory. Praise the Lord. God saved you and me so that we might be his trophy. We serve as examples to others of God's love and mercy at work and in through a human life. Many people seem to think that the only reason for salvation is so that a person might go to heaven when he dies. Eternal life is part of God's plan of forgiveness. But that is not the sole reason for our salvation. God saved us so that we each might reflect his nature, that we might be his people on this earth, doing the kinds of work that Jesus himself would do if he were walking in our shoes. Through our world, during our lifetime, God desires to manifest his character through our personalities and giftedness. When we allow his Holy Spirit to work in us and through us to others, we become vessels of his love and action. We reflect his compassion, love, and mercy to others. And in so doing, we are his witnesses. We bring credit, honor, and glory to him. Number three, I am most like Jesus when I serve others. The foremost characteristic of the life of Jesus Christ was and is service. We are most like him when we serve as he serves. Many seem to think that a person is most like Jesus when he preaches like Jesus, teaches like Jesus, taught, heals like Jesus, healed or performed miracles like Jesus performed miracles. They look only at the outward manifestation of a person's witness and ministry. They need to look beyond the outer manifestation to the motivation for Jesus' life. That motivation was always for miracles in order to help others, never to call attention to himself. He poured out his life so that others might be saved, never thinking for a moment to save himself, which he could have. Paul caught exactly the right tone when he wrote, "But you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that though through his poverty might become rich." God has called you to serve others just as Jesus served others. He didn't save you or call you to service that you might be exalted, praised, glorified, or put on a pedestal. He saved you so that you might serve others and in so doing bring praise and honor to God's holy name. He blesses you so that you might bless others. The good news is that any person who is saved can serve God and bring glory to him. The nature of the ministry task of calling is not the important thing. What is important is the motivation behind it. God loved us so that we might love others. He blesses us so that we might bless others. In a nutshell, that's what the Christian life is all about. And it's about service to others as Jesus served us by getting this life for us. I thank God for you this morning. Before we get out of here, I'm just so filled up. This was an awesome word this morning. Thank you, Lord, for guiding me to New Testament Friday today. And it says this, good morning, faith, I'm on that, all up in the word. Faith in God includes faith in his timing. You have to believe in the process. Have a faith-filled Friday. And remember that we are sons and daughters of God. And as we wrap up, may the Lord watch between me and you while we're absent, one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. And as we end with the word from Paul. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Have a blessed day, family. It is a wrap. I'm so filled, and I pray that you are filled up as well with this mighty word from Apostle Paul this morning. May God bless you. May God keep you. May God's light shine upon you and give you peace and grace. And I say, please keep the people of the East Coast in your prayers. Pray for the Floridians that have already lost so much. And as this awful hurricane is working its way up the East Coast, pray for all your brothers and sisters that are in its path, that God will cover them and bless them with peace. In Jesus' name. Have a blessed day, family. It is a wrap. By grace, you have been saved through Jesus Christ. Be blessed and have a great weekend. Please join me on Sunday morning for Old Testament Sunday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time. It is a wrap.